Thank you for blessing us this morning, Willie, with a great song selection. Sunshine in my soul, man. And we look outside, we see the beautiful sunshine. We are blessed people. We are so blessed. And I hope that you've kind of been thinking about the things that you kind of put your heart into, because it kind of gives you a feeling that I want you to kind of have as we approach the Word of God. I want you to put your heart into it this morning. There's a movie I really love. I love the movie Gladiator. And I don't know how many of you have seen the movie. It has Russell Crowe in it. And he is Maximus, and he's a general of Rome. And one of the neat things about Maximus is he loves his empire. He loves the Roman Empire. And he loves his family. And he is kind of second to Caesar. He's general of Rome, and they've been fighting the Germanic tribes and has gained victory, and Caesar comes out to meet him. And what Caesar's going to tell him is not something he really wants to hear, but Caesar's health is failing. Caesar wants Maximus to take over Rome instead of his own son. Well, his own son gets wind of what's going on. His son comes out to be out there where they're celebrating this great victory, and his son finds out about it, and he ends up killing Caesar and then seizing the throne for himself. Then he places an assassination attempt on Maximus, and Maximus is trying to get away, ends up trying to go to his home. Well, by the time he reaches his home is burned, his wife and children are killed. And Maximus is wounded, and he's found by a group of traveling gladiators, nursed to health. And he begins to fight as a gladiator. He's called the Spaniard. And he gets so good at what he does that he finally ends up in Rome, and even to the point where he meets Caesar face to face in the arena. Caesar wants to fight him, but before they go out into the arena, Caesar has stabbed Maximus with a poison dagger, and Maximus is dying even as he battles with Caesar in the ring, but he ends up defeating Caesar. And he's dying. He lays on the arena floor, and he passes away there. And the daughter of Caesar rises up and says, "Is Rome worth one good man's life? We believed it once. Make us believe it again." She's talking to the senators of Rome, because what Maximus wanted was for Rome to be in the hands of the people, for it to be a democracy once again. And she says, "He was a soldier of Rome. Honor him." And Gracchus and everyone grabs his body, lifts it over their head, and they carry it out of the Colosseum. Maximus put his heart into his love for the Roman Empire, and he gave his life for it, and he was honored for it. And there are things that we honor. There are things that we honor. We honor our military. We honor our nation. We talk about honor in respect to those things. God also calls us to honor our elderly, which is something that should be taught in every household. Leviticus 19:32 says this, "Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." And sometimes I wonder if we give our elderly the respect and the honor that they deserve. It's common for us to use the word honor in these kind of situations, isn't it? But when's the last time you used the word honor in your home? Was it in reading maybe the Scriptures? We had the privilege of going to a parenting seminar on January 10th, and we learned one of the toolboxes of a successful household, and we talked about honor, and talked about honor in the home and the fact that maybe that word's not used very much. But honor, the definition of honor, it means as a noun, high respect and esteem. It can also, being honored, can be a privilege. As a verb, it means to regard with great respect or to even fulfill an agreement. I want to give you three aspects of honor. The first aspect is to treat one another as special, to value one another. And I want you to think about that in your relationships. There are so many one another passages in the Scriptures. It's something that God desires for us, but oftentimes that's not the term. We say we love each other, but honor even has another kind of meaning to it. The second aspect of honor is doing more than what's expected. Do you go the extra mile? Do you honor someone so much you're willing? I mean, when a kid has a task, say you're given a chore at home, pretty much you'll do what they tell you to do. But to show honor would be even to take it another step, to look for something else to do, to honor. But do we do that as adults? We're told to do a job. And we have a job and we do our job, but do we live as Christ lived for His Father and went the extra mile? Do we go the extra mile as well? And the third aspect of honor is having a good attitude. To have a good attitude in relationships. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 talks about Christ's attitude and His humility in relationships, His relationship with His Father. He humbled Himself and did exactly what God called Him to do and went above and beyond for us. He went the extra mile for us. He came to earth. He left heaven and He came to earth and dwelt in flesh so that we could be honored. I don't think we think about these types of things. If you don't have a good attitude, if you have a bad attitude, and you walk into a room, it changes the whole dynamic of the room, doesn't it? You make everybody else miserable around you. They may have been having a good time and rejoicing, but if you have a bad attitude and you walk in the room, it changes the atmosphere of the room. So having a good attitude is something that's critically important in our relationships with one another. Jesus always did more than what was expected. How do you demonstrate honor in your home? Do you? That's something I think we need to address. We as parents want our children to honor us, don't we? We want them to follow the fifth commandment. We're quick to quote it. And we want them to follow the teaching that Paul has in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's the right thing to do, kids. It's the right thing to do, even adults who have parents, to listen to your parents, to do what's right. Honor your father and mother. And I'm going to tell you, that's taking it an extra step. That's not just doing what they say, that's going even more. Taking that extra step, going the extra mile. Doing what's unexpected. This is the first commandment with a promise. And I love what he says here. So that it may go well with you. And that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Man, that's a promise, young people. That's a promise God gives you. Honor your parents. In attending this seminar, one of the things as they discussed the honor system in the family, their approach is to reach the child's heart first. Instead of doing behavior modification, doing discipline first, to address the heart of the child. And I got to thinking about that and I said, that's what God wants to do with us. Here I am sitting in this parenting seminar and I'm thinking, that's what God has done from the very beginning. From the very beginning, He's wanted the hearts of His people. He doesn't just want them to do stuff. He wants them. He wants their very heart. All through the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, in His story of love for us, He is attempting to reach our hearts. If there's one thing God wants from you this morning, He wants your heart. Because when He has that, honor and obedience follow. It just follows when we love God. Well, I want to take a look at a few scriptures in reference to this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And oftentimes we read these and I don't think we really grasp what He's saying. Oh, well, that's the great passage. That's a beautiful passage. But I don't think we grasp what He's saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not just with part of it. Not just with the time that you have extra. Not just on Sunday morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And He says, these commandments I give you today are to be where? On your heart. They're to live in you. They're to be a part of your fabric of who you are. They are part of the tapestry of your life. They are your essence. And Jesus echoes the statement in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, where He replies, love the Lord when asked what's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Man, our minds get focused on a lot of things, don't they? Love the Lord your God with all your... This is the first and greatest commandment. Why is it the first and greatest? Because without love, everything else is meaningless. Paul, Daryl's done a great job talking about 1 Corinthians 13. Talks about all those different things. If you can speak in tongues, if you have faith that can move mountains, if you have the gift of prophecy, whatever you have, if you don't have love, it's nothing. It's meaningless. God wants your heart this morning. And if He has your heart, then you will love Him. And you will be obedient to Him. From the very beginning, God wanted us to honor Him. He wanted us to go the extra mile. Not by coercion, but by because we love. Because we're committed to Him and to Him alone. And all the other relationships we have are minimal compared to that relationship. Because let me tell you what, when we know how to love God, we will know how to love one another. We will love like He loves us. And the world will know us by that love. It's amazing. David puts it this way in Psalm 51, 15 through 17. He says, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praises. In other words, my mouth opens and praise flows. Is that the way my life is right now? Is that the way your life is, or has life overwhelmed you? When your lips open, if God opens your lips, is praise going to flow? I think it's something we need to think about. He says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise. That's the kind of heart He wants. One that's willing to be broken. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, when our heart is this way, look at what it says God does. The Lord God will circumcise your hearts. He will cut you in your heart. And your heart will bleed for Him. He will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all your heart and all your soul. And I love these last two words. And live. That's life. That's life. That's abundant life when we love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our strength and with all of our mind. It changes us. It changes the way we see the world. It changes the way that we see people. And man, I tell you what, we need that. We need to be changed so we can see people, because then they will see Christ in us. Psalm 119, 1 says this, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with some of their heart." Is that what it says? With all their heart. And I think of busyness of life and all the responsibilities that we have and all the things that demands that are placed on us. And I think of the things that I find pleasure in, the things I like to do, the things I put my heart into. And my fear is that I'm not putting them where they should be, that my heart's not where it should be. I need to put all my heart into serving and loving my God. He says, they do not follow, they do no wrong but follow His ways. That's the kind of man I want people to know me for, to be a man who follows His ways. I'm not good. Not a one of us good. Even Jesus said He wasn't good, that there was one good. And let me tell you what, I want people out there to see Him living in me and to see Jesus Christ in my life. That's a challenge. That's a challenge for me. That's a challenge every single day for every one of us. But if we put our heart into it and seek Him, then obedience and honor, the fruits of the Spirit become a part of our life and our behavior. And we follow His ways. Our ways become blameless before God. And I guarantee you what, that this will give better direction in life for us and for our children if we live this way. Romans 12:9-10 says this, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil." Boy, and I tell you what, that's a challenging thing in this world today, isn't it? A lot of evil out there, but do I hate what's evil, or do I just kind of, oh, well, that's wrong, and not really think about it? He says, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor. Honor one another above yourselves. Man, do I use that word at home? Do I talk about honor with my children or my grandchildren? Is honor present? If I give my heart, if my heart is totally His, it will be. Love and honor go together. You can't have one without the other. If I say I love someone and I don't honor them, then I'm paying lip service to them. And I'm not truly loving them the way God desires for me to. So how are we trained in love and honor? God, through Jesus Christ, taught us to love one another and to think about the needs of others above our own. He showed us how to honor God. Jesus showed us by serving others. Do you do that? Do you serve? Maybe it's time we start to use the word honor more in our homes. So how can we change ours and our children's attitude? I want to take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And he says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands," and I love that because we have a great promise, "that if we live in His love and we honor Him, then we will enter a place of rest." Can't wait for that. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to enter that place of rest. But he says, "Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." It means it's a challenge for us to encourage one another, to inspire one another, to honor one another and love one another so that the message of the gospel can be seen clearly in our lives. He says, "For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message was of no value to them." There are Jesus spoke to so many people. He spoke the message. He preached to thousands, and yet there's 120 in the upper room. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But they didn't hear the good news. It wasn't of value to them. He says, "But the message they heard was of no value because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed." We have the word proclaimed to us, but do we value it? If we value it, then do we speak of it to our children? The best way to a child's heart is to connect that child to Jesus, the living Word. You connect that child to Jesus, and he will learn to honor you the way God intends for him or her to do. Because isn't it the Word that changed us? Weren't you changed by the Word of God? Isn't that why you're sitting here this morning? It's the Word of God that has the power to change hearts and lives. The good news is the tool with which our children's attitude can be molded, and it is the tool which God molds us. If we allow ourselves to be molded. There's that free will thing. But often our attitude is this: well, what's the minimum I can get by with? What's the least I can do? Isn't that sometimes the attitude that we have? Oh, I have to do that. What's the least I can get by with? Let me tell you what, that's sin. That's our sin nature speaking to us. As Christians, we should be willing to go that extra mile. We ought to do more than what's expected of us. We were created with a great capacity for God. But pride, self-centeredness, occupy too much of us. Too much of us. Do you go the extra mile? For God? For your spouse? For your children? For this church family? God designed honor as a heart quality for us to honor Him and to honor those around us. So He has taught us how to honor one another. Let me tell you what, it's strategic for family life. It's critically important. When we honor, it causes us to look for things to do for others. Psalm 37:31 says, "The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip." What a beautiful passage. That's the kind of passage I want to be known for. I want people to see the law of God in my heart. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words." The heart of this father, Solomon, reaching out to his son. "Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." Listen again. "For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it." Why is your heart important? Because everything you do flows from it. Your heart health is important, but I'm not talking about your physical heart. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. Is the Word of God planted in your heart? Has it rooted itself there? I mean, is it really rooted in you? According to Proverbs 4, we need to guard our hearts. Challenging thing to do in this world, and as the generation continue, it seems to get harder. Because the world wants us to think God is dead. That He has no meaning and no impact in our lives. Everything we do flows from our heart. And the question I have for you after considering these scriptures we looked at this morning, have you put your heart into it? Have you really put your heart into it? Are you giving God your all? Does your life honor Him who deserves? He's the one that deserves honor and praise and glory. And once your heart responds to Him, obedience and love just follow. It's just part of what love does. It just follows. His love compels us. Does it compel you? And here's a real challenge. Don't let anger, bitterness, wrath, frustrations, and the like rule your heart and steal your joy. I don't care what someone's done or what's happened or the unfairness of a situation. If it lingers in your heart, it diminishes the power of God in you. Because those things can take root just like the Word of God can take root. And it can destroy your life. Don't let it steal your joy in the Lord. Life's more than we see. It's what we don't see. God's kingdom reigns in the hearts of those who love Him, those who seek Him. You want life? You want to really live? Then it's time to die. It's about death to self so that we can live for God. I found the words to a song. It's called For the Honor. And I thought it was appropriate to bring a close to the message. It goes like this. For the honor of the Father who reaches out to us, that we might live inside His love, He gave His only Son. For the honor of the Savior, let the cross be lifted high. The great exchange of love and grace came down to give us life. For the honor of the Spirit, whose power lives in us, that we might see much greater things as we embrace Your love. For the honor of the kingdom, whose reign will never end, we give our lives in sacrifice until You come again. Forever, forever, we'll honor You forever. Is that your life today? Is that what people, when they see you, will identify you with? Colossians 3:3-4 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know, that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's who we serve. We serve a risen Savior. Are you working at it with all your heart? Are you doing it for the Lord? Are you honoring God by the way that you live? This is our purpose. It's what we have been called to. And let me tell you what, it is not the easy life, but it is the abundant life. If you want to live for Christ, then do what love for Him compels you to do. Be obedient to the gospel. Many of you sitting here have been obedient to the gospel and are doing your best to live for Him, but there may be someone here this morning that hasn't made that decision. That is ready to say, okay, I'm ready to live for You, God, because I love You and I'll do whatever You ask. No questions. I just want to serve You. Peter said it this way when they said, hey, what do we need to do, Peter? What do we need to do to be saved? He says, repent, change direction, go God's direction, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the Holy Spirit. This is life. This is life in God's Son. If any of you has a need this morning, maybe you haven't been putting your heart into it. Maybe you need to change that. Maybe you need prayers to help you with that. Whatever your need is, we have shepherds that will be up here at the front, some in the back. Sometimes you need privacy to talk about things. That's why we provide that. But if you have a need, God will meet that need. And we're His hands and feet to try to help you through whatever it is you're facing. May God bless the telling of His Word this morning as we stand and sing.